Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Nick has been waiting. What's up, Nick? How you doing today?
Hey, how you doing today?
What's on your mind, man?
Man, you know, I just wanted to talk about, you know, with Nick Chubb. There's a couple things going through my mind. Nick Chubb was one of my favorite players in the Browns. Genuinely, I'm so sad to see him gone. However, if you did kind of pay attention to his performance last year, you know, you kind of understand that it's not the same, and it does make you question, you know, what is he going to be doing in the future? He does a lot of, you know, posts a lot of videos of him in the weight room, putting in the work, but that also doesn't necessarily mean speed in general. So, you know, and that's kind of what you need in that position. So, I trust me, I'm staring at my Nick Chubb jersey right now as I'm saying this. One of my favorite players ever, but I totally understand the decision to kind of move on from him. You know, we got some great running backs. I think we're going to be doing fine in the future in that regard. I think there's some other stuff we need to focus on other than that. But miss the guy. Hope he does well. But at the same time, I understand the decision.
All right. Thanks, Nick. I appreciate you, man. Did he say miss you guys at the end there?
Yeah, I think he did.
We're here. We're hanging out. Maybe he missed you. I don't know. You're everywhere.
I think he probably misses Nick.
Is that what?
Since I'm in here,
I think he said miss the guy.
Oh, miss the guy. Okay, he might want to be like,
miss the guy.
Miss the guy. Yeah, that actually was very. That was tempered and level headed. I thought. I didn't think. Wait, you know, yesterday we had Cheryl in Las Vegas. I don't know if you caught any of the show at all yesterday, but Cheryl legitimately cried over Nick Chubb on the air.
I get it.
Like tears. You could hear everything, and it was like that. I mean it. I said, I just need to forward this to Andrew Berry's front office. I don't know why I'm dealing with this all of a sudden. I don't need to be your therapist. But she was very, very upset with it. And I thought more people would be like that. So that was very measured by the caller right there.
Nick Chubb, I've had very emotional conversations with people about Nick Chubb. And I've had feisty conversations about Nick Chubb because he's that kind of guy. He's been that kind of guy for this fan base. And it was during a time where there was not a lot of good football.
Yeah.
And there weren't a lot of players that you wanted to attach yourself to.
Well, and you'll look like the idiot if you bet against Nick Chubb. Like, if Nick Chubb turns out to be awesome, it'll be everyone will have the obvious statement of, yeah, who couldn't have seen that coming? Like, yeah, you were the ones that wanted to bet against Nick Chubb. Nobody bets against Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
Like, at least with, like, Baker, when Baker went away to Carolina and he started to struggle a little bit, it was like, okay, all right, we can kind of, even though I believed in Baker, I liked Baker.
And Baker wasn't everybody's cup of tea.
No, not at all. He was very divisive. It was definitely a mixed bag of you liked him, you didn't like him.
I think everybody was 100% on board with Nick Chubb. Like, if you had a daughter, marry Nick Chubb.
That's exactly what I told Pendergast earlier on 610 in Houston. I was like, we'd get
that
calls.
You want Nick Chubb to marry your daughter?
No, that we're getting into a Belichick situation there. That might be the age by the time she's legal might be a little much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. explain that one away. It's like, you're dating Nick Chubb? How does this work? Wait, he's how much older than you now? But I told
he's
Pendergast.
He's got a cane and a walker.
Last time I saw Jim Brown in person, that's what he had. He had the cane walker situation going on. And I kept getting worried. I don't know why in my head as I was passing him. I'm like, he's going to just use that cane and go out and trip me, isn't he? I don't know why. I just envisioned Jim Brown in that moment just being just
probably warranted.
Well, maybe. Maybe not. I've said some things. But like thinking about Jim Brown just in his last days, maybe that's how I'll be when I get older. I don't know. Tripping people with canes.
I can't really speak to being an NFL running back, obviously, but I would assume that it's not great for the body.
No, I won't be like Belichick. I promise you that. I will not be the 73-year-old. If something happens to my wife, I will not be the 73-year-old that is going after 24-year-olds.
Okay.
It won't be me.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Please do.
Hey, sweetie.
You know what the response is going to be? You're going to be like, Jonathan, 40 years ago, you told me you would not be that guy. And now you're that guy. You're dating right. this 24-year-old. That's what right. in the hell happened to you? And I'd be like, life's pretty good right now, Chris.
Would you like some bourbon?
Why do I talk like the typical old man?
Because that's the only impersonation that I can do.
You know, sounds like an old woman.
I really can't. An old woman?
That sounds a little bit more like an old woman than an old man.
Yeah, do it one more time and offer me some Werther's.
Hey, would you like some Werther's Originals, honey?
He definitely deepened the voice for that one. he definitely did. All right, so I've been told by Mac, who you just heard from, and then obviously Dan Menigan. Not obviously.
Creamy.
Yes. Now I want you to do your Belichick version.
I don't think I could.
No.
We're on to Myles Garrett.
Well, we're on to Shedeur Sanders now.
Oh, Shedeur Sanders. No kidding.
Yeah.
With you, that's a surprise.
Whoa. I've done a good job today, I feel like.
Shedeur!
In a what has been a Shedeur day of days, a celebration, as many would call it.
What are you going to do? I really do want to know this.
Probably because keep talking on the radio is the answer, but yeah.
Because I know how emotionally attached you are to Shedeur at this point. What are you going to do when he just doesn't get an opportunity this year and they draft Arch Manning next year?
First off, I think Arch Manning is staying in school. If it ends up being the Browns, I think the only way that Arch Manning comes out is if it's the Saints having the number one overall pick. And then I think the eldest Manning.
I think you're underestimating the Manning-Haslam connection.
No, I think I'm properly estimating the Manning-Haslam connection. Peyton knows exactly who Jimmy Haslam is. He doesn't want to get in bed with that at all. And I think the reality is, this is why they're setting up all these narratives, because they do want to help dictate the team for Arch Manning. And they're setting up the idea that, hey, Arch, not only are you making all this money in NIL, that's irrelevant to the conversation. The point is, you have generational wealth because of your dad already, so you can hang out at Texas for as long as you need to hang out. You don't have to rush yourself to the pros, and he's going to stay there. I really don't think Arch Manning is coming out this year.
Jimma is getting his Manning. He missed out on one Manning. He's getting his Manning.
Don't see it happening. But wait, so what's the question, though? If Shedeur
never plays, he never gets an opportunity this year, and then Arch Manning comes.
I'll be shocked if he never plays this year. Absolutely. I'll be any Stephen A. Smith word that you want to throw out there. Gobsmacked, run amok, all these type of things. There's no world where that actually exists unless Joe Flacco is just gangbusters, and I don't know how that's going to happen either. The first 6 weeks is so tough. I think he's going to struggle, and then I think Shedeur will get the opportunity. But if Shedeur, I'll play along. If Shedeur doesn't play at all, and then mm-hmm. Arch Manning gets drafted by the Browns, mm-hmm. then I'm thrilled, because I think Arch Manning is going to be a really good quarterback. The end goal of this, and the end goal has always been, get the Browns a quarterback.
Okay.
This has been the misunderstood
and
part of this.
And get you a customizable jersey.
I bought it from Chinese eBay for $30. I think we're okay.
All right.
Very, very, first off, great investment by me. And second off, now that I don't even have the right number on the jersey, so what are we really doing here? But the point is, the whole goal of all of this has been the Browns have to take chances at quarterback. And that was the whole point between Shedeur at number two, and people forget this for some reason, it's convenient, but I also like Cam Ward a lot as well, because Cam Ward fit in that same bucket of, you're going to have a high draft pick, and you're going to take a quarterback because you need to invest in the position.
Mm-hmm.
You don't win without a quarterback, especially in the AFC. Look around.
Of course.
There's so many good ones. If I started naming them, you'd be like, Jonathan, we've been here for 7 minutes, and you're just naming really good quarterbacks. So the starting point of all of this was finding a quarterback that you love, and then, you know, getting the Browns to a spot where they would actually take the quarterback. And the Browns have gotten there in a roundabout way, but they did. And so if Shedeur doesn't work out because they're taking Arch Manning, that's a beautiful thing for me in many ways. Although I think Shador can be a good NFL quarterback, and I think he's got the talent to do so. If Arch Manning's the end goal, guess what, guys? We all win.
So your fandom for the Browns runs deeper than your love fest for Shador.
For sure, yeah. And I hate if people get that misconstrued in any sort of way, because ultimately the end goal and what makes my life more enjoyable is the Browns having an awesome quarterback and a quarterback that I can have real conversations with when it comes to the AFC North.
That would be nice.
It'd be very nice. And so, like, if that's not Shador, then guess what? Hey, life moves on. Mm-hmm. As long as they're taking stabs at it, that's what I need to see. I need to see them not just lay down and say, Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco, here's your quarterback situation. Because I can't do 17 weeks of here's Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. That is nauseating. I did 3 years of Deshaun Watson while knowing that man was a broken toy. He was made of glass, wasn't good. And then back of that, I had to watch DTR, PJ Walker. These bad quarterbacks. I'm tired of it the way everyone else is. And so that's the impetus of it all. Get me a good quarterback. Get me somebody I can care about and at least take chances.
I get that. I just wanted to see where you drew the line.
And now we figured it out. So Dan Menigan said this is a good clip. And so I want to hear this. This is from Shador Sanders. Matt co-signed that this is a good clip. Here was the young man earlier today.
It was good that I grown up Little League and all that stuff under center. So it bring me back to Little League days. So I got a good foundation. And now I definitely am going to improve on that. But I have a good solid foundation. Just prep for pro day and all that different type of stuff. Really make me more comfortable with everything. Everything in life, any aspect is going to be a challenge. So it's just, are you going to be the one to overcome the challenge, or are you going to let that challenge get you?
Okay, I got to ask you, Mac, what was I supposed to love about that? Is it the gritty nature of it all?
I think it was the fact that growing up around the NFL and having the under center experience previously, along with the experience that he had and basically knowing that, you know, he's constantly trying to work on getting better, that it's basically made him into a better person, better player.
I'm going to sound as sarcastic as I think I've ever sounded with you, okay? Are you ready for... No, I'm not going to do it. I'm hitting the eject button. It is a bully-free week of Mac. I don't know if you got the memo or not, Chris. We are doing a bully-free week of Mac, and so I'm not going to do that.
So you're going to save the judgment for that for 2:05 on Monday?
We could, if you wanted.
I mean, sure. I don't know why you would bully him in the first place. What did he do to you?
I'm not the bully. I'm not the bully on this.
I mean,
this.
The fact that you have to implement a bully-free thing for somebody who's a part of your show.
We're giving him a week vacation conveniently with the same time that the guy that normally sits in that chair is also on a week vacation. That's what coincides there.
Interesting.
I think he deserved it. But I think you've earned it as well. I think you've earned this week vacation. I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you enjoy the fact that Shador Sanders brought a lot of positive light to these airwaves with that statement. He definitely did. All right, Chris, how much is Evan Mobley's growth impacted by the two guards? We'll get your answer on that and more of your phone calls. 216-474-0092. We'll get back to the Cavs next right here on Afternoon Drive.
Yeah, I was not camera ready. I did not wear my best.
Your black t-shirt.
My black tee.
That's probably
Nobody told me that this was on camera.
Is probably really an expensive t-shirt, or it's either a $7 t-shirt and you have like seven of them, or it's one of those t-shirts that cost like $180.
It's true classic.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
What?
I said that doesn't mean anything to me.
How do you not know true
Mac,
classic?
Does true classic mean anything to you? It sounds like a Hanes brand. Is
not
that Hanes?
Oh, come on.
What is true classic?
They're known for their good fitting t-shirts.
Oh, I could tell by the way it fit. I could tell that was an expensive
one. I've been
working
out a little bit.
You do. You look like you're in good shape.
Thanks.
You know, for a dad of a 3.5-year-old, how are you doing it?
I work out all the time.
Do you like curl Elliot or something? Like, no. How do you find the time is what I want to know.
I never sleep. I'm used to
that
not
is true.
Sleeping.
You've told me you basically never sleep. How many hours? Because you said you don't sleep. How many hours do you get in a night? Like, you know, like they say presidents get like 4.5 hours a night.
Wow. I'm not a president. I don't want to be a president.
Well, that's why you're not a president, because you don't want to be.
During Cavs season,
yeah.
If I set my alarm and it tells me that I'm getting 4 hours of sleep, I am like pumped about it. I'm really, really excited about it. Oh, yeah. I'm writing until 3 a.m. most nights.
And then you get up at like 6 or something,
yeah.
Or 6:30?
On to the next city or come home after a trip. Yeah.
That's wild to me. Are you worried about the long-term ramifications of this, or are you just kind of like, it is what it is?
It is what it is. You think, man, you're just, you like,
are
one
you
of
just,
these.
Are you just blessed with the body to be able to do this? Is that what we're saying here?
I mean, I am more gray
Everyone's got their own gifts, you know? I guess this is like, I would look at that as like an absolute life win. If I didn't drop dead at like 40 with this, mm-hmm. okay? And that's the only concern I have for you, is that at like 52, you're just going to drop dead and be like, well, yeah, he was sleeping 3 hours a night. Doctors ever recommended just 3 hours a night.
There have been times where I've set my alarm and it said that I was waking up in 45 minutes. Waking up, not from nap, from night.
Do you nap too with this or no?
Oh, yeah. Pre-game naps are a must when you're on the beat.
You're like on the LeBron James schedule where he just naps and you get yourself all ready?
Yeah, I'm on the NBA schedule. Yeah. Most NBA players take a pre-game nap. It's the same thing for writers.
All right, so you're getting some more sleep. So let's say you get a three-hour night sleep, and then what do you do, like an hour nap?
Yeah, about 45 to an hour 10. LeBron once told me that was kind of the window that was best. So
that's... I like that you got your window of nap from LeBron.
We have conversations about those things. Do people think in the locker room that we only talk about basketball? Or we only answer questions on the record? No.
I just like that LeBron was like, listen, I spend $1 million a year on my body, or whatever he claims to spend on his body, and I'm gonna give you advice on how to... He probably loved it. He probably was like, I've been waiting for people.
45 minutes to an hour 10.
I don't understand why people don't ask me these questions a little bit more. I want to tell you about my sleeping
I'm
habits.
A Greek god, look at me.
Yeah, like I make it all work, and it is what it is. Are you watching the Shaq thing on Netflix at all? We watched it over the weekend.
No, I think you'd
like it. It's about him basically becoming the president of Reebok, and then him going after like different players and such. Mm. Like he makes like this big push for Dink Pate. And I'm watching this, and I'm telling my wife's like, so wow, like he really loves Dink Pate. Like this guy's got to be awesome. And I'm like, no, he's not awesome. I don't. They always do these in these shows where they just make these guys seem like they're the world's greatest. And I'm like, no, there's nobody that Shaq has been talking to that is worth anything right now. Like I don't know what he's trying to do here.
But you got to be too early rather than too late with these guys.
Well, that's his whole pitch in this whole entire show, is that like you have to get to, especially if you're Reebok, you got to get to him before everybody else, and then just kind of hope that they blossom into something. So like he did a whole like half hour on like him trying to go after SGA when SGA's contract was up, and then it basically being like SGA laughed at us is basically the end result. But then they turned that into that idea of like, yeah, we have to get these guys in the ground floor.
Right. That wasn't the only shoe company. I have a buddy who works for Adidas, and we've had a lot of these conversations. And I've asked him multiple times, I said, how do you pick your roster?
Mm.
What things do you look for?
Yeah.
Because they were...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
We're looking at Shea, too.
Mm.
But they're kind of stuck, and they only get five. Apparently, they only get five with a signature shoe, and they're stuck with James Harden forever.
Yeah, that
stinks.
They have
Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, they have Donovan. Anthony Edwards.
Can you explain that billboard they have up over there? I don't know. You can't see it from here, but it's when I come off the highway. There's a billboard of it's Donovan and it's Evan Mobley, and they're embracing together and like a hug.
Mm.
And then the caption is something. I'm going to butcher the caption now. Mac, find this for me online. It popped up in the recent like 3 or 4 days. And I pass it when I come off the highway, and it's a two of them hugging, but it almost implies as if it was ready for if they made it to the NBA finals as like a motivational thing for them being in the finals together or them being in the finals. I don't even know if Mobley's supposed to be involved in the photo.
I don't know.
But it's definitely like Mitchell's face, and he's hugging Evan Mobley. And I was like, did Adidas just get ahead of themselves here?
That's
or is this almost like a pick me up for Donovan?
I haven't seen that billboard. I will say this. In Portland, they have not a campus. They don't like the term campus because Nike uses campus. They have an Adidas Village, okay?
Okay.
The only person that they really promote is Anthony Edwards. Like, there's nothing Donovan Mitchell at all at Adidas Village, which is weird to me.
Isn't that almost like insulting to Donovan?
I would think so.
I'd be pissed if I was Donovan.
Yeah, I would be too.
I mean, I get it. Ant-Man's, you know, he's venturing towards the face of the league in many ways.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's definitely, a lot of people love him. He's very marketable.
He can't be the face of the league.
He's not
buttoned up enough.
Yes, he's had a lot of, no, that's what I was thinking. I was trying to find a way to work it in.
Yeah.
The fact that he just, well, we don't have to get into it.
You have to be pretty presidential to be the face of the league.
I know,
you have to be willing to answer certain kinds of off-the-court questions to be the face of the league. You can't be fined every single post game for the comments that you make and the curses that you use.
Well, he did that Netflix basketball show, the one that LeBron was in too. And my takeaway on that was like, wow, he's really fun, but like he doesn't present himself in any sort of manner that anybody would be like, this is the guy for the face of the league.
No. Donovan's interesting. Donovan wants it.
For sure.
Donovan has told me that he wants it. Yeah.
So what I love about the Donovan Mitchell story, and we'll get into Evan Mobley and his impact with the two guards in a second here. What I love about Donovan is that every time I talk to you and you tell me one of these stories about him, it's almost like I love that you confirm it, but it's also like we can all see that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's not as if he's hiding it from anyone or anything, and it's not like he had to go deep and like, wow, you should see the levels that he goes to. It's very obvious the levels that he goes to, and it's very obvious how much he wants to be great at this and how much he wants a title. And that's one thing I just always respect about him, and I love it. I love when athletes care that much. And I know it sounds silly to say.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like we're in a world of sports right now where it's a guessing game, and maybe this is part of the European influence on this too, where it feels like Jokic wants to go play with his horses sometimes more than he wants to play on a basketball court. And you're just kind
of... Which is not true.
But you're just kind of
one
wondering.
Of the most competitive dudes in the NBA.
For sure he is. And Luka's very competitive as well. But the impression that Luka gives off is that a lot of times he'd rather be having a beer on a patio than playing in a basketball game.
Yeah.
And so like we can only deal with the impressions that people give us, right? And I love that Donovan gives us that impression that he eats, sleeps, breathes this stuff and wants it more than we want it for him, which is insane.
Yeah, I just wonder if that billboard that you were talking about is them trying to pump up Donovan more than what they have in the past.
Hmm. Like putting an emphasis on him. Maybe this is their way of shying away from that Anthony Edwards
because of some of the things that have happened. Yeah.
And they realize like Donovan is a really good guy to just get involved with, and you can never go wrong with a guy like that.
No. He is, and I mean this in the nicest way. I mean this in the most respectful way. He is Mr. President.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that jokingly call him Mr. President.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because of the way that he carries himself, because of how open he is with the media, because of how personable he is, because of all of the different steps that he has taken to kind of position himself that kind of way.
Do you feel like this postseason helped or hurt him? I like the Ringer had their rankings list of the top 100 players the other day, and I saw he was number 7 overall. We talked about it, and I thought 7. I went through the list. When you go through the list, 7 seems like it's actually... He seems like he should be closer to maybe 9 or 10 if you actually drew it out. So like that would suggest that it helped him in some sort of way. But
I think it did. I think it did slightly. It certainly didn't hurt him. I think there have been past playoff series, Jonathan, where you look at his team losing, and he was a part of that.
Yeah, you're talking about some of the Utah series, especially when he was the one seed.
Jalen Brunson.
I was talking about the Denver series. Yeah.
When they were the one seed and he just didn't rise to the occasion. He was one of the better individual performers in these playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
All of the things that he did for the Cavs. And I think people recognize that Darius Garland wasn't 100%. I think they recognize that Evan Mobley, there was kind of a lack of readiness to his game, and he was dealing with the ankle thing. And DeAndre Hunter, their prized offseason or midseason trade acquisition, wasn't 100%. So I do think that this helped elevate Donovan's profile, because for all of the reasons that you could give for the Cavs losing in the conference finals, it had nothing to do with him.
No, and I think a lot of people locally got that. I didn't know if nationally they picked up on it the same way. My only complaint I had with Donovan in the postseason was, well, a couple things. One, he entered the postseason, and it was Jared Greenberg in game one being like, he doesn't want to be the guy he was in Utah, mm-hmm. where he just scored a bunch and felt like his usage rate was incredibly mm-hmm. high. Mm-hmm. And then as the series moved on, he just morphed into that, and that's just what it became. Yeah. But in game five in particular, in the second half of that game, listen, they started 5-21, him and Darius in the first half. They didn't look particularly great. It was obviously, it was Mobley and it was Allen doing a lot of the big work there. But in the second half of the game, Chris, I called you Nick there. My bad.
That's okay.
Then the second half of the game, and to close out up until the final minute of the game, the final 13 possessions was all Donovan Mitchell possessions. And I wonder if that was just based off of, and I think he kind of hinted towards this in some of his post game. It was said it without saying it, that mm-hmm. like I can only do so much, and I'm not blaming anybody, but he's going to go ahead and put this on the other guys. Yeah. But it was just an incredibly large amount of Donovan in those moments.
Well, he averaged nearly 30 in this playoff run, so it's hard to say that.
No, I know, but game five in particular, where he drew 21 trips to the free throw line and made the fourth quarter all about him in a way that it's never a bad thing if you make it all about yourself if you're Donovan Mitchell. But the usage rate was high. If anything, as I describe it out, I almost feel bad for him that he had to go through it that way.
I think this is a very nuanced conversation, and I think it goes back to a lot of the things that Donovan said in his post-game remarks. If we go back to following Game 5 and him saying, oh, you guys are going to write some stuff about us, I took that as him giving us a platform to rip them to shreds and to criticize everything about this team. Because it's not what he wanted to say, and it's not what he could say, but he wanted somebody to say it about this team. Because I think the reason why he approached it the way that he did, look, for Donovan to take a step back, he has to trust that the other guys are ready to take a step forward. And he did that during the regular season.
Yeah.
He helped elevate Evan Mobley. He helped elevate Darius Garland. In the playoffs, it was different. I think it was an eye-opener for Donovan of, I'm at a specific level here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to compete for a championship. These other guys aren't. Evan's not. Darius is not. Jarrett's not. And I think it was an eye-opener to Donovan because I think he felt like Evan was going to be more ready. And I think he felt like Darius was going to be more ready. Now, Darius, we've already talked about it. There are so many circumstances attached to the way that he played, especially in the series against Indiana. He was mm-hmm. clearly hobbled. I walked out of the arena with him following game five, and he was walking so slowly. There was a clear limp, and it was still painful a month after them losing to the point that he needed surgery. So you can't downplay that. But I think beyond those things, I think Donovan recognized, I'm here. I'm ready to compete for a championship. Is anybody else ready at that same level?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of felt like to me in that fourth quarter, it was almost like he was angry that he had to do it all. But he felt like
he
had to. And the very best option in his mind, instead of giving it to anybody else, was to have himself do it.
In order for him to take a step back, when it comes to playoff, Donovan, in order for him to take a step back, he has to believe that Evan Mobley is ready for that. He has to believe that his other teammates are ready for that. And I think that was, I think the way that he played showed that he believed he had to do more. He still had to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because Evan's performance against Indiana, even before he sprained it, it just wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough for a guy who is second team all. He didn't look like a second team All-NBA player.
Yeah.
So
no question.
I think if Donovan would have believed that Evan could have handled a little bit more responsibility on the offensive end, I think he probably would have approached it a different kind of way, and it wouldn't have been a heliocentric approach where, I mean, his usage rate against the Pacers, it was very similar to his Utah days.
Mm-hmm.
But trust is earned, especially when you're talking about in the playoffs, when it's Donovan's reputation more at stake than anybody else's.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. It's good insight right there. All right, we come on back. We'll put a bow on this one, and we'll do it in case we missed it. Chris Fedor, Jonathan Pino with you guys. One more segment left before we give it off to Jake Vonick right here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.